Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680 with Bob Tewksbury. And he's got a book out. And, of course, Bob, part of the Giants hierarchy these days and the mental coach of the Giants. And I love the book. The book is terrific. It's called 90% Mental, Bob Tewksbury and Scott Miller.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Marty. Yeah, it's real exciting. It's a work in progress for a couple of years, and it's a unique look inside the mental game of baseball from, as a former player, from my perspective, but also as a mental skills coach with players that I've worked with in the past, and those players are still playing, and they're pretty prominent guys like Lester, John Lester, Andrew Miller, Rich Hill, Anthony Rizzo, and they were willing to share their story about how important the mental game is to them, and I think it's a good opportunity to really kind of a unique look inside the game that isn't really out there from somebody who actually did it, at least.
Yeah, Bob Tewksbury with us. The book is 90% Mental. You can get it on all the outlets by Bob and Scott Miller. When we talk about the mental side of the game, define it for me.
Wow. I don't think I've ever been posed that question in that way. The mental part of the game is, you know, we know Yogi said it was 90% of the game is 50%, whatever he said, 90% of the game is half mental. Yeah. But I think the mental part of the game comprises our thoughts in any given moment that lead to our feelings and then ultimately our reactions to those things. So, for example, if you know, you talk about hitters when they're playing well, they're not thinking anything. Or you see that they say that they're seeing the ball well. But when they're not hitting, they're not seeing it well. Well, their vision didn't change. But what's in the way is their thoughts. They're thinking about their average. They're thinking about their numbers. Or, you know, are they going to play? So those thoughts create a feeling of tension, anxiety. That creates a longer swing, potentially swinging at bad pitches. So there's a cycle there that I really believe in, and it's cyclical because sometimes, you know, it's something that will happen. You know, you hit a ball hard and the guy catches it, will create a feeling of frustration, which leads to thoughts like, well, God, what do I got to do to get a hit? So the mental part of the game is what you think. It's how you respond to what happens to you in any given situation. And that's what makes this game tough, is that it's every day. You know, it's every day for 6-7 months.
Boy, very good definition. You hit it well. Very good. What I like about the book, in looking through it, your anecdotes of your career. And players or coaches or managers that influenced you. How about a few of those?
Joe Torre was a big part of my career and success in St. Louis. I talk about a time in the book where Joe came out to talk to me in the game, and it was against the Phillies, and he basically was coming out to see how I was doing. But I thought he was coming to take me out, and I responded that way, and he took me out, and the reliever, Lee Smith, came in and gave up a grand slam, so I got a no decision, and we lost the game, so I didn't feel very good about that. You know, there's other people, Ted Simmons, who was a great catcher for a long time, is a guy that gave me a chance to come up to St. Louis. There's stories in the book, Ron Santo's quote, which was, I went to the airport to pick up a friend that had flying in to get my car to drive home. It was the end of September. And I went to the airport back in the day where you could go to the gate, and the whole Chicago Cubs team is coming off the plane. And I'm pitching that day, and they had taken a charter, a commercial flight, I think, just because of time or whatever. And everyone that came off was saying to me, and Dunston was on that team, Sandberg, like, aren't you pitching tonight? I'm like, yeah, I'm pitching tonight. And we got to the ballpark, and Santo came up to me. He goes, you know the team's really going badly when the visiting pitcher greets you at the airport to make sure you came in.
I love it. And there's a lot of anecdotes like that, very, very earthy anecdotes that tell you what a major league life was like. But this mental side of the game is relatively new as far as teaching it or talking about it. How about during your day? And how has it changed how baseball's looked at it? Maybe a little of the timeline.
Yeah, no. My timeline, you know, I came up in 86. I think there were a couple of people doing the mental skills then. Harvey Dorfman, it was just starting, and Carl Keel with Oakland, and Ken Revisa and Charlie Mayer with a couple of teams, but it really wasn't widespread. So from 86, strength and conditioning just came into fruition, kind of was away from the, you know, you shouldn't, baseball players shouldn't lift. So that kind of carried through the 90s, and then the end of the 90s into the 2000s, the nutrition and supplements came in and went a little too far. and then the last part's really been the mental part, which has been part of the game that's been around forever, but hasn't been talked about because people are just didn't view it. They viewed it as a weakness. And there are some people who still view the willingness to talk about that stuff as a weakness. And it's just not in baseball. It's in our society. And if you can think about it in a very male-dominated culture like baseball or football, other players are judgmental on whether or not this really helps and why do you need it. But the guys that do, and that's why I think it's a credit to the players that I just mentioned, that they said how important it is to them. And now there are 22 out of the 30 teams have a mental skills coach full-time. I think that the collective bargaining agreement, really the players wanted that. They negotiated for that. And some teams have more than one person, and, you know, it's spreading down to try to get some more Latin, Spanish-speaking to mental skills coaches to talk to the Latin American players so that they understand it. So it's really widespread, and I think I could have used somebody when I was in New York as a rookie. I'd have been right there. It would have helped a lot. And I think that's what kind of led me to this after I finished playing was, you know, I went back and finished my undergraduate degree because I promised my family that I would, and that was in physical education. And then I worked with the Red Sox as a pitching consultant for a couple of years. And then there was an event that happened with a player that I talk about in the book that I said, I need to get some more training. And it took me 2 years, but I finally went back to Boston University and got a master's in sports psychology and then started a second career and one that's been, you know, I can share my experiences. I got traded, released. I got sent down 6 times. I had 2 surgeries. I made an all-star team, got knocked out in the first inning. The only league I didn't play in was the PCL. You know, my first full season in the big leagues wasn't until I was 30. And that's after coming up when I was 25. So I understand what these guys go through, and to be able to share those experiences is good. And I love working with these group of guys. It's a great organization, and the players here, you know, there's a reason why you win, and there's good people here and good players.
Yeah, the book is terrific, honestly. 90% mental. Bob Tewksbury and Scott Miller did. I know Scott very well.
And, oh, you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very well. So 90% mental is the book. A couple of last thoughts for you. In the book, and again, just looking through it today, you talk about 3 pitches that a pitcher can throw. Mm-hmm. I like that. Tell that story.
Yeah, I got that from Ken Revisa in his book, Heads Up Baseball, and it talks about 3 types of pitching. There's primal pitching, perfect pitching, and prayer pitching. And so each of those, primal pitching is the guy that effort level gets too high, and when the game speeds up on them and they feel like they really overthrow and they pitch with reckless abandon, and that usually doesn't work out too well. The perfect pitcher is a guy that really thinks he's got to be really fine with his command, and as a result falls behind in the count and then comes into the plate and gets hit, and they think they got to be perfect. And the prayer pitching is the guy that has no confidence and just like, I hope I can get this guy out, and you throw it up there on a prayer. And I've been through all 3 of those, and none of them really work very well or for particularly long, but those are 3 areas I think that if pitchers could recognize, okay, where am I? You know, when I talk to the pitchers, I ask them what they're on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, you know, the top. What number do you pitch at when you pitch your best? You know, you can't, no one throws a ball, you shouldn't throw a ball with 100% effort, you know. And they are always, the comment is between a 5 and a 7 or an 8, depending if you're a bullpen guy. But a bullpen guys go, you know, I'm 11 or a 12, but I really need to be an 8.
Yeah.
And so we talk about how to be innate, how to slow the game down, how to use your breathing. You know, why are you responding to situations thinking that you have to do more? And another great giant, Rick Rushell, said, I know I can't throw harder, but I can throw slower. And that's when you need to know that, you know, you need to know what you can do. So it's really a fun second career.
Yeah, very. No, it's in the book. I liked it. It just it gave me about 10 minutes to look at it, and I really came up with it.
I'll get you a copy, though. I'll get you one.
No,
yeah.
I enjoyed it very much. I think the fans would like it, too, because it's got a lot of your good anecdotes. You tell a good story.
Yeah.
And the mental side, that's one thing I'm going to say. U.S. history can always be seen through the eyes of baseball. Mm. And the world we live in today is more of a world of trying to deal with people, feelings, and how they're doing. And baseball has responded to that.
No, I think you're right. I think that's a good point. And that's what makes our game great. And I think as a former player, I really hope that today's player understands that more. You know, the work stoppages that we had as, you know, through the 94 strike, and guys have played their whole careers, and it's been kind of the golden goose. You know, there's been a lot of rewards for that, and I know that a lot of players do understand that, but I hope that more understand that correlation as well.
Well, the subject's a little bit dry, but you make it come alive with the anecdotes and the stories, and we could tell from this interview. So,
and I'm actually doing a book signing in San Francisco on the 24th at Left Bank Books, I believe.
Okay.
On the 24th, I think at 1 o'clock.
Perfect.
So I'll be in San Francisco, and that'll be fun.
Terrific. And, you know, we do our pregame live out at the Public House and all the homes Saturdays and Sundays. So if you'd like to come out there and talk to the audience, we'd be glad to have you.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Very good. 90% mental. I liked it. And I only saw it for about 10 minutes. It's very good, Bob. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Marty.
All right. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.